Here this morning to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. I want to finish this short series on how to hear the Word of God. How to hear the Word of God. We've dealt already in the past 4 weeks with the four different types of ground or soil. Our hearts are four different ways you can listen to the Word of God. But here this morning, I want to finish this series. You can listen to the other messages online on YouTube, on our church website as well, the audio messages. But we want to come to this last message here this morning. Ears to hear, ears to hear. Reading from Matthew chapter 13 and verse 9. Matthew 13 and verse 9. Who has ears to hear? Let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him that is Christ, why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and he said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes, they, notice this carefully, they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see these things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear these things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. Let's pray together. Father, our united prayer this morning, Lord God, is that we might have ears to hear individually. Lord God, even as a church, we want to be a church that has ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church. My God, I'm asking of you, open our eyes that we might see this morning. Lord God, I pray for that anointing oil on every individual, whether to open the eyes to be born again, nor God, or to open the eyes of the saved to see as they ought to see. We're asking for eyes, nor God, that only you can give us. We do have physical eyes that can see this morning. We can look around us, we can perceive, but we are looking for spiritual eyes. We're asking of you that you grant unto us as individuals, unto this preacher, unto this church, eyes, spiritual eyes, that we might see things concerning the kingdom of God. I'm asking for ears this morning, that we might have the ability to hear the voice of Jesus Christ, the voice of our Father, the voice of the Holy Spirit. I'm asking, oh God, impact the lives in this room, nor God, not only to see a preacher, not only to see a man, nor before God, not only to hear a sermon, but my God, to go much deeper, where they hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying unto them. Nor God, a life-changing word, a searching word, a revealing word. Nor God, a word from your throne, a divine word that comes from God on high. Lord God, we're not playing religion. We're not merely gathering for sermons or to hear a lecture. We're here to meet with you, where you can come and speak directly to our hearts, where you can prophesy into our lives, where you can reveal your thoughts unto us. My God, we're asking even here this morning, will you give us a heart to perceive and to understand, a heart that understands and sees concerning the kingdom of God. Lord God, bless this word to every ear, to every eye, and to every heart. We are asking for a supernatural work. Will you move on us inwardly, spiritually, and eternally, that your name might be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. My message this morning, as we finish this, what I consider to be a vital series, short series, but so, so vital, ears to hear. This is one of the most dominant statements of the Lord Jesus Christ. He repeats it time and time again. In fact, it is a unique statement spoken by Christ and by Christ alone. Paul doesn't use it. Peter doesn't use it. John doesn't use it. But we find that Christ takes this statement as his own peculiar statement. And he says, if you have ears to hear. It is a statement very peculiar to the mind, the thinking, the words, the actions of Jesus Christ. Do you realize in the church, in the best of churches, Christ comes to the church, comes to individuals, and he has one question for you this morning, individually, as an individual sitting here, and us as a church, do you have ears to hear? You may be very quick at saying, yes, I hear the word of God. I believe it. I understand the preaching. But I'm not talking with the outward ear or with your natural mind. Neither with your intellect. Neither just with some natural human thing. I am asking you what Christ asked. Do you have ears to hear? You see, physically in this room, everyone has ears. The children have ears. They don't know what they're hearing half the time, but they do have physical ears. They have all the components of hearing, yet they don't understand what is being said and around them. Every single one of you sitting here, you have physical ears. You can hear the noise. You can hear the message. You can hear the words that I speak. It is natural and normal and healthy to hear. If you cannot hear physically this morning, there's something seriously wrong with you. If you're deaf, if you cannot hear the words of my mouth, there is something tragically wrong. It's not normal. It's not natural. It's not okay. Because you know what? You're going to miss out on an awful lot. You don't hear like everybody else hears. If you don't have natural physical hearing. And there are people born into our world. They cannot hear. They cannot hear your words. They don't know what music sounds like. They may be able to feel vibrations. Do you know, on the very day that Saul of Tarsus was converted, Christ appeared unto him in glory in a light that was brighter than the noonday sun. It was a startling light, but there was a voice heard. Paul heard the message. He heard articulate words from the mouth of Christ. Christ spoke unto him. The other soldiers with them, they also fell to the ground. They heard a noise, but they could not tell what the message was. They knew something strange is happening. They knew this is a strange experience. They even see a man get converted by a real Christ, by a real message from a living Jesus in our day. And yet they themselves could not perceive the message. They went, we hear a noise, we hear a voice, but we do not hear the message. I believe so many in the church are like that. They have ears, they have a brain, they have understanding. They say they know the Bible. They've heard thousands of messages. But I'm convinced many do not hear Christ speaking. The preaching is wasted on them. The reading of the Bible is wasted on them. Going on YouTube or Sermon Index or somewhere else, they enjoy the preaching of the Word. Their whole life is taken up in this, and yet they're actually not hearing from Christ. They do not hear a voice. They do not hear Him speak to Him. What a curse it is to have ears and not hear. To be able to hear the preacher, but yet spiritually not to be able to hear Christ. What a tragedy. In these previous four messages, we've looked at the four different types of ground, or soil. These four different types of soil are four different types of people who sit under preaching. Four different ways to hear preaching. Four different kinds of listener to the Word of God. That's what this soil is. And it's a parable that Jesus gave to the multitude saying, these four different kinds of people are there when I preach and teach the Word of God. They're all there. And I'm convinced that these four different kinds, in our day, in our generation, most people think these four are converted, born again believers. You'll find these four people in the pulpits preaching in our generation. You'll find them calling themselves born again, spirit-filled, Bible-believing Christians, blood-bought Christians. You'll find them in the church. I believe our entire world church that calls itself born again and says we're looking for Jesus to come, I believe it's made up of these four. The wayside hearer, the rocky ground hearer, the thorny ground hearer, and the good ground hearer. But only one really hears Christ. The other three don't. The other three have never really heard the message. Oh yes, they've heard the preaching and they play with it. Look at what Paul pointed out to us last week. Look at the wayside ground here. The seed fell by the wayside. Notice that. It's a type of listening to the sermon or the preaching. The seed of God's word falls by you. Then secondly, the rocky ground here, it said the seed fell upon that ground. Thirdly, the thorny ground here, it fell among the thorns. And the good ground here, it said the seed fell into the ground. Amen. By, upon, among, and into. Four different ways to hear the Word of God. Four different ways the Word of God affects your life. It falls by you. It falls upon you. It falls among you. It falls into you. Only one of these is effectual and powerful and changes your life. The other three seem to make you a Christian. The other three seem to be born again. The other three seem to be listening. But they never really hear what Christ is saying to the church. And that's why we've dealt with these four different types of listener. And these messages are so vital. What type of listener are you? Do you have ears and yet you do not hear? Christ actually says, if you have ears to hear, then hear what I'm saying unto you. The danger is that you hear, but you do not hear. You have ears, but you have no ears to hear what Christ is saying. What a great danger that is. In Mark chapter 4:13, and he said unto them, know ye not this parable of the soils? And how then will you know all parables, 39 parables. And Christ actually says, if you understand this parable, you'll understand them all. There's a truth in this parable of the soils, that if you see it, there's principles. If you understand it, you'll understand all of the parables. They'll open up to you. There's certain truths in this parable that reveal the dealings of God with every individual, saved and unsaved, preacher and listener. With everyone. Christ says this parable is vital to understand. It will open up everything concerning his kingdom. Notice in Christ's teaching, he actually teaches about the wheat and the tares, the real and the false, the goat and the sheep, the old garment and the new garment, the new wine and the old wineskin. He deals with the real bride of Christ and the harlot church. Notice here, he constantly, in all of his teaching and parables, he compares the real with the false, and they always look similar. They always look similar. They're always found sitting in a church. He never compares the church with the world. He compares those who sit in the church with himself. Preacher with preacher, Christian with Christian, church with church. He is comparing and he's saying, everything that looks Christian is not Christian. You need to be very careful. What makes the difference between churches then? Or between preachers? Or between individual Christians? What really makes the difference? It's this ability to hear Christ speak to you. It's this ability to have spiritual ears, not just outward, intellectual, religious, natural hearing, but to have a spiritual hearing where you go beyond that and you spiritually hear Christ. That's what Christ is actually saying here. And I want to finish this message on what Christ says about these ears to hear. This is what he emphasizes all through this. Do you have ears to hear? Do you really hear what I'm saying? Do you only hear a preacher in the pulpit? God help you today. God help you if you listen to sermons and it never touches your heart. It never touches your actions. It never changes the direction of your life. If you can hear the word of God and go away and you're like a man who looks in the mirror and sees the dirt on your face and you look at it and say, I ought to clean my face, and you go away and 6 months later you've never washed your face. God help you. You're going to find these sermons will come back to hunt you. And since sermons never changed anyone, it is actually Christ in the Word of God. It is the voice of the living God. That's why I've been shocked at times. Certain messages, I preached my worst, I tried my best. And the sermons where I went, man, I don't want anyone to hear that. And then afterwards I hear of the impact on a person's life. This happened about 10 times that I can tell you of in this church. And I go, man, I hope nobody hears that. And someone comes and goes, do you realize that message, what it done in my life? I go, Malcolmson, keep your mouth shut. You're not dealing with a natural man or a natural sermon. You're actually dealing with the Spirit of God. There is something greater, and I'm very aware of this. Amen. It is so real. Notice with me, there's several things I want to point out to you on this whole theme of ears to hear and the importance of it. In Matthew chapter 13 and verse 10, it says, and the disciples, after teaching on the four types of ground, after giving the parable, after teaching the parable to multitudes that were gathered to hear, it says in verse 10, and the disciples came and said unto him, Christ, why speakest thou unto them in parables? Why do you do that? Notice here, they were in the sermon. They were in the crowds. They were there when Christ ministered in his greatest, largest, best meetings. Dynamic meetings where great crowds gathered. But notice these few, it was the few, not the many, it was the few, who actually follow him afterwards. The message affected them. The message stirred up questions. The message dissatisfied them. I hope I don't satisfy you in every message. I hope I disturb you. I hope I raise questions in your mind. I hope I leave you saying, man, I'm left with an awful lot of thoughts. I hope so. You know, here, after having taught the parables, here come these disciples to Christ privately, alone, aside, away from the crowds. And they had a question, why speakest thou unto them in parables? Notice they're speaking about them, not us. Notice they're very interested in the crowds and what you're saying. Do you know this teaching on the four grounds isn't for sinners? It is for sinners. It helps sinners. But it's not primarily for them. You know what Christ is saying? Christ is revealing something here. And he's saying, see those four grounds. You Christians, you preachers, you that witness to others, you need to know that in this thing, those hearing you, there's four different types of ground. Don't get discouraged when the seed bounces off. Don't get discouraged when someone receives it with great joy and they're not here in a month's time. Do not get discouraged. You know what he says? Sow on every ground. Sow on the bad ground. Sow on the thorny ground. Sow on the hard ground. Throw the seed. Scatter it. Don't go looking for good ground to scatter your seed. Scatter it everywhere. Scatter it to the Catholic priest. Scatter it to the atheist, the evolutionist, the drug addict, the alcoholic, the Catholic, the Muslim. Don't you dare hold back from witnessing to a Muslim or a GW. Scatter the seed everywhere. That's the lesson. We are to scatter the seed. And don't be discouraged. You're not responsible for the response. And you know what? No matter how anyone responds to the preaching in this church, I'm not responsible for that. I'm responsible to preach the truth in this church. I'm responsible to be faithful in ministering. What you do with it, you're going to be responsible to God. If I only look for nice Christians to share the word of God with, I'm going to be held accountable by God. Why didn't you preach to the thorny ground hearer? Why didn't you preach to the wayside hearer? Why didn't you preach to the rocky ground hearer? They may be that today, but they won't be tomorrow. You need to preach in season and out of season to everyone you meet. But let's go to Christ's response to their question. First of all, mysteries of the kingdom. In verse 11, read with me. He answered and he said unto them, because, remember he's answering questions. They're there with questions, desires, inquiring. He says, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Them and us. There is an them and an us in the kingdom of God. There's them who hear and them who do not. Notice here, having ears to hear has everything to do with understanding the mysteries of the kingdom of God. If you have ears to hear, you will receive the mysteries of God's kingdom. If you don't have ears to hear, they will not be given unto you. It all depends on having ears to hear. It's essential. Not intellectual. Not educational. It's got to do with a heart. You have a heart to say, I want to hear you. I want to know you. I want to see you. I want a heart that's open to you. And so God opens up the mysteries of the kingdom. Notice the word mystery there. It actually means something hidden, covered by God. Do you know God covers things, hides things? He conceals things. God has some things that nobody can know unless he reveals them or gives them. And that's what it says here. Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries. He's teaching parables so that they can know the mysteries of God. The mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. God actually conceals these things. He has these things. But he says, I want to reveal them unto those who have ears to hear. Those who do not have ears to hear, I'm not going to reveal them. Notice God is making a choice. If you have ears to hear, I'm going to show you. I'm going to give them to you. I'm going to grant them to you, bestow them. I'm going to open up mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. What is the kingdom of heaven? It's a place of God's dwelling. It's an invisible, eternal realm at the throne of God. It's where God dwells. It's where Christ dwells. It's where the angels adore him and worship. It's where those who die in Christ immediately go spiritually. That is the actual kingdom of heaven. These are mysteries of the kingdom of heaven to be revealed on earth. They're mysteries of heaven being revealed on earth, but only to certain people Not to everyone. What is the kingdom of heaven that comes upon the earth? It's where Christ reveals himself. It's his power. It's his rule in the hearts of men on the earth. If Christ does not rule in your heart, then his kingdom has not come to your heart. His kingdom has not come in your life if he is not ruling there. If you have to debate, maybe I'll obey him, maybe I won't, maybe I want to follow him, maybe I don't, then you're blind to this. You actually don't have ears to hear. If you really had ears to hear, this kingdom would immediately come in your life. There would be a revealing of mysteries. God would open his hand and say, you have ears to hear. I'm going to open up the mysteries of my kingdom. Notice it's him that gives the mysteries. Things kept hidden for generations, thousands of years, millennia, dispensations. Here he comes, and to those, who is it? His disciples. I give unto you to know them experientially in your life, not intellectually, in your life, in your heart. I know things that were hidden in God, in his kingdom. They're revealed unto me. I know them. They're a reality. Saints, you're either in this or you're out of it. You remember in John chapter 3, and he said to that religious man, Nicodemus, he says, if you're not born again, you can't even see the kingdom of God. Never mind enter the kingdom of God. You are outside the kingdom of God. God's kingdom has come on the earth, but you are outside it. There's something within you. Unless you're born with spiritual ears, you cannot hear. You're actually deaf. You're blind. Your heart is stone cold. Who does Christ not give these mysteries to? He doesn't give it to those whose soil is hardened by people trudging over it with all their ideas and all their preaching and all of their opinions. If your heart has been hardened by everybody's opinion, God won't give you the mysteries of his kingdom. You can't even hear his voice. You're so confused with everybody's ideas. He does not give the mysteries of his kingdom to those who allow the devil every single week to steal the word of God from their life. You receive it in here, you get to the door, the devil says, thank you very much. I'll take the word of God from you. You're going to have to fight the devil for every message you hear. Any blessing you receive, God moves in your life, you'll have to fight the devil. You get saved, you're going to have to fight the devil. You get baptized in the Holy Spirit, you're going to have to fight the devil. You get healed in your body. I assure you, the devil meets you at the door saying, you're not healed. You're not saved. You're not baptized in the Holy Ghost. That's you. You're only making those words up. I assure you, you have to fight the devil where the word of God is involved. But God doesn't reveal these things to those who go out from preaching and let everybody trample over the precious seed of God's word. Why would he? If you trample or allow others to trample under God's word, why would he give you great mysteries of the kingdom of heaven? Why would he do that? He doesn't reveal these mysteries to those who believe quickly, receive the preaching quickly with great joy, and then when they get tempted or go through trials, they get offended in the word of God, and they fall away, they go back into the world. They get angry with God or the preacher. God says, I am not going to give you the mysteries. If that's how you treat the word of a preacher, why would I open up spiritual mysteries? If you can't treat a preacher right, you won't treat God right. If you can't treat a sermon right, why would you treat a voice from heaven right? It's utterly impossible. This mystery of the kingdom is not given to those who allow natural cares of this world, its pleasures, its lusts, its riches, to choke the word of God. If you're allowing riches in your life to choke the word of God, or the fear of not having enough finance to choke God's word, why would he open up the mysteries of his kingdom? You're living in this world. You're not even thinking spiritually. You're not even looking for his kingdom. Why would he open up the mysteries of the kingdom that are hidden from most in our world? Why would he reveal it to you? Saints, I'm saying that in meetings, under preaching, God reveals the mysteries of his kingdom, but only to those who have ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. Secondly, first, it was mysteries of the kingdom. Secondly, and listen this carefully, this second point, given more or left with nothing. Depending on whether you have ears to hear will depend or affect whether you're given more or you'll be left with absolutely nothing. It all hinges on having ears to hear. If you have ears to hear, you're given more. If you don't have ears to hear, you'll be left with absolutely nothing. Look at verse 12 with me. For whosoever has, to him shall be given. Notice he already has. Because he has something, he is given something. And those who are given something, he shall have more abundance. That means superabundance or overflowing. Notice here that this person, if you have something, you're given things. And in fact, not just given things. The more you're given and the more that you receive, you actually receive an abundance. The word there means superabundance or you're overflowing. In other words, this person who has, he actually ends up overflowing. He says, I can't even hold this. There is so much coming in. So much is being given unto me. I can't even contain it. It's flowing over into my family, flowing over into the church, flowing over into other lives. I cannot contain it. But notice there's the others. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. What a contrast. You're either going to be given more or you're going to be left with nothing. And it depends on whether you have ears to hear the voice of Jesus Christ. That's why you meet people in the church and they're spiritually bankrupt. They've been stripped of everything. They've lost everything they used to have. You think of what they used to have, what they used to be, and now they're left with nothing. It's fulfilling this word. They didn't hear the voice of Christ. They didn't have ears to hear. If they had have had ears to hear, they would actually be overflowing now. This affects your entire life. Notice with me, the haves and the have-nots. Someone who has and someone who does not have. What's it talking about? It's talking about ears. If you have ears to hear, God's going to give you more. And he's going to speak to you. And he's going to reveal things to you. There's progressive revelation. And as you receive his word, as you listen, saints, I assure you, if you waste what I give you, I don't want to give you more. Yeah. Yeah. If I give you €1,000 and I see you waste it, you ain't getting another €1,000, I can assure you. I'm not going to do that. Thank God preaching's differently. You can waste this, you can reject it, you can fight against it. I'm gonna pour more out and I'm gonna pour an abundance out. But that doesn't happen in the kingdom of God. You waste this, you reject it. I'll tell you, you'll find yourself bankrupt. And he actually says, what he actually already has gets taken away. If you don't have ears to listen to Christ, if you don't listen to him, if you're dull of hearing, if you refuse to hear, if you reject or cast away what you once knew, you had head knowledge, you had outward blessing, you had experiences. God says, I'll strip you of it. I'll take it all away from you. You'll be left with absolutely nothing. You want to play with spiritual things, I'll take it all away. You won't even remember what it is to have an experience with me. You'll doubt it yourself. I'm talking about how this kingdom works. Saints, we need to hear the voice of the Spirit of God. This ought to be your single cry. Speak to me. Give me ears to hear. I must hear the Word of God. I'm not just dealing with preaching. I'm dealing with the Son of God. And it actually goes further in Mark chapter 4 and 24. Very interesting thing that it says. And he said unto them, take heed what ye hear. Listen this. With what measure ye meet. He's talking about hearing, listening. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. Notice your response to the word of God will affect how God responds to you. What you measure out to God in hearing him affects what he measures out to you. If you think you're not receiving much to God, it's because you're not giving much. It's like someone coming with a little thimble. We're pouring out. I like my cups of tea. I hope you realize that. I could drink tea all day long, every day, every moment of my life. I have no problem. But can you imagine someone bringing a little thimble and saying, "Brother Keith, I'd like a cup of tea. I can only pour in what you bring to me." But I tell you, if you've got tea on the go, I'm going to bring a big mug. Because I assure you, the bigger the mug, the more you're going to give me. Here, fill that for me. Do you know, spiritually that happens. Look what Christ, and this is Christ teaching us about either being given more or left with nothing. He says, take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured unto you. Saints, I assure you, you can get God to speak to you more. You can get God to pour out into your life. It depends on this action of hearing him spiritually with the inward man of the heart. Do you want more from God? Then hear him. Present to him an open ear. Come sin. My ears are open. My eyes are open. My heart is open to you. Will you pour into me? The Lord will say yes. If you're sitting here going, "Man, I'm not receiving in," it's because you're not giving him your eyes and your ears and your heart. Open up your being and saying, "This is my, you've got my attention, Lord. I'm so empty. I'm so dry. I'm so tired. I'm so weary, but I'm giving everything." He says, "I will give you more. If you listen to me, I will give you more. I'll pour into your life. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, to him shall be taken away, even that which he hath." Or listen to what Luke says, "even that which he seemeth to have." Oh, you seem to have a lot, but you don't listen to the voice of God. What you seem to have is going to be taken away from you. Saints, I assure you, listen to the preaching of God's word and look for Christ to move on you within it. And you will receive abundance. Your little cup won't hold it. You will be overflowing. And you know, this little church of ours, we do have an abundance. Why? Why is it great mega churches? It kills me. The lack of preaching, the lack of truth, the foolishness. Big mega churches, and you get a clown standing there for 20 minutes telling silly stories or begging for money. They don't give them Christ. They don't teach the word of God. It kills me, and there's 10,000 people there. Man, the man has nothing to say. But you know what? They're willing to listen to that. They're actually sitting there in that mess and that confusion. They seem to have a lot. They have nothing. If they carefully listened to what they heard from Christ and labored to understand and faithfully gave it to others, they would receive more spiritual knowledge. Do you want more? Give away what you've got. You know, I'm a good reciprocal. I like to receive and give away. I want you to have everything. I empty my pockets when I preach. I hope you realize that. I don't want to know anything that I do not convey to someone else. All through the years from as young, if a book blessed me, I bought 3 and gave it away. If an old audio tape years ago, some of you don't know what audio tapes are now, I'd get an audio tape, I'd listen it again. I used to do 10 copies, and in the boot of my car, I had a big cardboard box. I had about 200 audio cassettes, and wherever I went, I'd get talking to someone. "Hold on, I've got an audio tape for you." Saints, we're doing it through that video. We're doing it through the website. We'll do it through evangelism. We're going to do it through School of Christ conventions and running the 3-week school. What are we trying to do? I just want to get rid of this. You know why? He is pouring into us. We are not in a famine. We are not here dying of thirst. We're not here lacking the word of God. We're not. We have an abundance here. And you know why? Because there's people in this church who have ears to hear. I'm convinced of it. I know. Right here, there's people who want to hear God. Thirdly, the purpose of the parables. Verse 13, therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. Notice he gives the purpose of the parables. It's not easy stories to make it easier for you to listen to. I have heard for years, and I'm sick of it, they say, well, a good preacher always tells a story. Who says? Yeah, they say the parables, all this teaching and all of this theology and doctrine, and you're going over my head. Just you keep listening, you'll understand. And they say, oh, you're dealing with things we don't know about. Just tell us simple stories. Do you know why Christ told simple stories? So that those who did not see would not see. Listen this carefully. When Christ begins to just tell stories, entertaining things, parables, things which aren't the truth themselves, aren't doctrine, but they're things brought alongside it. When Christ has to come to that, it means he's dealing with people who do not have ears to hear. Neither do they understand. So he holds back spiritual truth from them. He says, if I give them more, their damnation will be worse. The judgment will be worse. So I tell them little stories, because the more they know, the more they're responsible. Notice here this people, they're listening. The style of their listening, their religion, their discipleship, it's a sham. They come together regularly to hear sermons, nice stories, testimonies, to be entertained, to have their ears tickled, to find out what God's latest blessing is, to find out how to be prosperous, have a big car, have a successful marriage. They come together to have their conscience eased, so they don't need to worry about dying. That they feel better, they feel happier. Preacher, make me feel happier. Make me feel good about myself. I want a good self-esteem. Good self-esteem, nothing. You can have a good self-esteem and go to hell. I may trample over your self-esteem in this preaching, but I'll tell you of a Christ who died for you, and you didn't deserve it, and you're not a nice person, and you're not beautiful spiritually, but he died for you, and he loved you, and he cared for you. You see, so many come to church, all they hear is a story, nice stories, but they've never heard the voice of God. They do not have ears to hear. They're being entertained. It's all for them, and none of it's for God. It says in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us men, you're hearing the word of God from men, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectively worketh also in you that believe. Do you want the things I'm preaching to work in you? I mean effectively in a powerful, life-changing way. You better not receive it as the word of a man. Right. If you only see a preacher, a man, if you only see Keith, if you say, that's your opinion, that's your ideas, then all you're dealing with is a man, and you won't be affected by this. You'll say, I like that, I don't like that. I want to hear that, I don't want to hear that. You will choose what you listen to and what you do not listen to. You will pick, cherry pick, only the nicest of things that you think that you need for your life. I want to tell you, I want to preach the word of God without addition and without subtraction. I want to hear what God says, and I want to faithfully give it to you. You know why? If it's really from God, and you really believe that we're dealing with God in this church, it is going to work in you. There's going to be a power. With the word you hear preach, it's going to work in your life. There's going to be a power. You believe God. You'll go, this is becoming a real thing within my life. The purpose of the parables is to keep truth from those who do not want it, and to give truth to those who do desire it. The thing about the parables is it'll draw out the heart. If you don't understand, I need to understand. If this isn't working in your life, you go, it must work in my life. I'm not satisfied where I'm at. You see, parables are given to disturb you, to raise your concern and to stir questions. That's the purpose of the parable. Fourthly, fulfilled prophecy. Verse 14, and he said, in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. Christ is saying here, the crowd, the large crowd he just preached to, who all wanted to hear him, who sat with rapt attention, some of them received it with great joy. Some of them left the sermon and said, I'm going to live like this. It's all in the parable. There were those who heard him who said, as of this day, I'm going to follow the master. I'm a disciple. Others said, man, I could dance, I could jump. This is wonderful. He said, in all of these is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah the prophet, which saith, and he quotes from Isaiah. Notice Jesus always quotes from the Bible. He always says the Bible says. Any preacher who doesn't say the Bible says, you better not hang around. Yeah. Jesus saith, said Isaiah saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross. Notice what he's saying here. It happened in Isaiah's day. Multitudes gathered. They heard the prophet. They heard the great preaching. Predictions about the coming Messiah. Multitudes listened. In fact, they turned out in their droves and they said, we love to hear Isaiah. We enjoy his preaching. We enjoy this. It happened in John the Baptist's day. Do you know Herod? God in his chariot come out to hear Herod. And it said he trembled. This is the same Herod who had his head cut off. And he trembled. He enjoyed hearing John the Baptist. He came out to hear him regularly. And he would tremble at the things John was saying. But his sin got him in a place where he said, I'll cut that man's head off. Do you know, I've seen that in this church. Men who sat in these rows. Guys, and they said, man, this is the word of God. I love this. This is my church. They're the very ones who crucified me. Do you know, it's always happened. These sorts of things have always happened. It was fulfilled in them what Isaiah the prophet said. Christ, seeing the multitudes, going away happy and joyful, saying, man, I'm going to live this. He knew their bad ground. He knew their fruit would be temporary. He knew they didn't hear anything. Why? They don't have ears to hear. So many hear what is being said, but they do not hear what's being said. What's going to happen to them? What happens to a man or a woman who sits in preaching, who plays the religious game, who calls himself born again, but the word of God never deals with their rebellion, never deals with their heresy, never deals with their wrong actions, never deals with their attitude towards the church? What's going to happen with them? He says they're not going to hear anything. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes, they have closed them. I didn't do it. I didn't sovereignly choose some and not choose them. And I believe in divine election. But it says, they have closed their eyes. They are dull of hearing. Their heart is waxed gross. That means their heart has grown gross, heavy. Their heart has actually grown fat. Fat has begun to grow around their heart over a period of time. It's how they're eating. They're eating meals that make them fat. And as they grow fat, they can no longer respond to God. He says they've become dull of hearing. Their hearing became heavy. It became a hindrance. Their ability to hear. They actually say, I don't enjoy the word of God anymore. I don't want the word of God. I don't like to hear conviction. I don't like to hear truth. I don't like to hear repentance. I don't like to hear about sin. Something's happened to you. When that starts coming in, alarm bells ought to go. You are in trouble. And I want to assure you, it's something is going to be fulfilled in you if you carry on like this. If you shut your eyes, if you shut your ears. Hey, I've met it all through the church. People who are ignorant. They willfully reject truth. They're lazy. They neglect it. They waste it. They cast it aside. They do not want to take responsibility. They don't want the word of God to hurt them. So they put a barrier up and they actually just blaze over, glare over, saying, not for me. You're heading somewhere. Today you can close your ears, tomorrow you won't. Today you can close your eyes, tomorrow you won't. I'm assuring you that Christ here says, you know what, when they began to shut their ears, when they began to choose the preacher, to say, I don't like his preaching, but I like his preaching. Fine if he's not preaching truth, but if a preacher's preaching truth, I don't care what his style is, I don't care what his country is, I don't care whether he's a quiet preacher or loud, whether he sweats or stands still motionless. I don't care if he's monotone. But if he preaches truth, I do not despise that man. I do not reject the word of God. I don't care the packaging. I care about the truth of God. That's what I'm longing for. But notice these in Christ's day, in Isaiah's day, and in our day, many of them were shutting their ears. They loved preaching. They loved messages. They loved religious environments. But they're actually choosing to shut their eyes and their ears. This reveals a condition of their heart and their ears. They have cast away the gospel. They're rejecting salvation and conversion and healing. Do you know what happens next? God says, I'm going to shut their heart. I'm going to shut their ears. I'm going to shut their eyes. They have treated my spiritual things like this. They chose when they heard and when they didn't. When they desired, when they didn't. He says, I'm going to take away those desires. And a day will come when you no longer can hear. Do you remember Pharaoh? When God dealt with him, done miracles to deliver Israel. And he said, a miracle. Moses would perform a miracle. Then Pharaoh would say, yes, I'm going to release him. And then in the morning, it said he hardened his heart. And then another miracle of judgment came. And his eyes were open, he's seeing it. And he's saying, I will let them go. And then in the morning, how fickle man is. Then in the morning he says, I will not. He hardened his heart. He'd done that several times. And then a morning came. Do you know what the Bible says? God hardened his heart. That means he can never turn again. He played with that. Now God says, you know what? You've gone back and forth, in and out. You played with this. I've warned you, I've warned you, I've warned you. Now I'm going to shut your heart. The day that God closes your eyes, you're finished. Yeah. The day that God takes away the ability to hear, you're finished. Yeah. The day that you no longer desire to hear God, you are finished. God done this with Saul, King Saul. Remember, for 2 years he served God. Then he couldn't get God to speak to him for 38 years. He had to go to a witch, a necromancer, to call up a spirit. God wasn't speaking to him. He went to church, God's not speaking to him. He turned on a sermon, God's not speaking to him. He goes to the Bible, God's not speaking. 38 years. Saints, all of us have gone through a month where we don't feel anything. I read the Bible, it's dry. I go in here preaching, it's dead. I come to church, I don't feel anything. All of us have experienced that, or you will do in the future. But Saul went through 38 years. God says, I will not speak to you. My mouth is shut. And if God shuts his mouth, you're finished. I'm talking about having ears to hear. Don't play with your ears. Since I'm scared to look at the sun, why? Why is it I won't look at the sun? Do you know I've been there and the thought comes, look at the sun. God, I'm not that stupid. Are you, Andy? I hope not. Do you know what that thought comes? Just look at the sun. Maybe you can glimpse at it. No way, Jose. You know why these eyes are so precious? If they get burnt with that sun, I'll never see again. I'll lose the ability to see. That's why I've never stared at the sun. Do you realize you can lose your ears to hear where you'll never hear from God again, never hear from heaven, and there's no further hope? That scares me. I'll know more look at the sun when I walk out there than I will play with those ears. This is my salvation. This church has to hear from God. Let me finish. Point 5, blessed eyes and ears. It says in verse 16, but blessed are your eyes for they see and your ears for they hear. You are very blessed. If you're sitting here and you do desire God, if you're convicted, if you're wrestling, if you're struggling, if you know you need born again, if you're sitting here and you're searching for the voice of God, you are very blessed this morning. If you're here and you see Christ as your Savior, your healer, your deliverer, your baptizer, your soon coming King. If you're here saying, I want to hear your voice. I want truth. I want conviction. I want the message of repentance. I want the cross. I want the blood. I want you to deal with my sin. You are very blessed this morning. If you would rather sit on a hot Sunday morning and listening to a sweating preacher rather than be entertained with jokes and lightness or with ritual and Catholicism, then you're very blessed. If you actually have eyes and you go, I want to see His glory. I want to see Christ. I want to hear His voice. I want a heart that's open to Him. You are very blessed. If you have a heart that doesn't want the weeds to destroy God's word in your life, wealth, cares, lusts. If you're here and you've got a heart saying, I want to hear Christ. I'm listening to Him about natural wealth, the danger of it, or lust, or the pleasures of this life. I want to hear God. You're blessed. If you're sitting here and you're going, I don't want the seed of God's word to be lost. I want to hold the word of God. You're very blessed this morning. Are your ears blessed or are they cursed? Has God actually shut your ears that you cannot hear? Are you blessed this morning saying, man, I'm convicted. See, if you're worried that you've grieved the Spirit of God, you haven't. I mean in the sense of committed the unforgivable sin. Or the sin that puts you outside of salvation. If you're worried about that, if you're anxious, if you're trembling, if you're fearful of that, you have not committed that. That's the devil playing games with you. But if you're here saying, oh God, I want you to speak into my life, then the grace of God is upon your life. Christ uses this term again in Revelation 2. He's now risen at the right hand of the Father. Listen, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He says it to seven churches, seven times. He said, there's a preacher in that pulpit preaching the word of God from me. He says, I gave it to that natural man in the pulpit. That's what you read in Revelation 2 and 3. Seven churches, seven messengers, seven preachers, seven unique messages to different groups of believers. And Christ is saying, I have given a message to that man in the pulpit. It's not just him, it's me. It's me in the message. And he warns and he says, let him that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of God is saying through that human physical man. Because there's consequence if you don't. Speaking of churches, even Laodicea, he said, is there anybody in there? One soul. Is there anyone in that church? Does anyone still want the word of God, the truth? Does anyone hear that I'm saying you're backslidden and you're cold and you're lukewarm? Just one person. Isn't God faithful?
Yes.
To keep speaking to Laodicea, even when it's in such a bad condition. Why? There's someone in there. There's just one soul in there. I know there's one person. So I preach the word. There's still someone who can believe and be rescued. But listen, the last time it said in the Bible, Revelation 13 and 9, if any man have an ear, let him hear. Do you know what it's about? Antichrist in the last days. Why does he say it about the last generation when Antichrist is going to arise? Do you know why? Because that generation have been warned about Antichrist, the common world government. A last world dictator. Every sinner knows who Antichrist is. They don't know the real Christ, but they know who Antichrist is. I worked with English guys years ago. The only book in the Bible they knew was Revelation. And they knew about Antichrist and the mark of the beast. They didn't know about the cross or the blood. But they knew about Antichrist. And what the Lord is saying, that last generation, through media and internet and films and Facebook, everybody's going to know there is a coming Antichrist. There is a man, a world dictator, the child of the devil, who's going to rise up. But most of this world is not going to hear what Christ warned of. Christ warned of it. Most in this generation are going to walk in deception that. Let me finish with one last scripture concerning this. 2 Timothy 4 and 2. It's a prophecy about our day in the church. Paul writing to Timothy, and he says, preach the word. Not dreams, not visions, not personal prophecies. Paul says to young Timothy, a young preacher, preach the word, the written word, the scriptures. Actually preach them. Take the word of God, the Bible, and begin to preach it. He says, be instant, or be ready, in season and out of season, when it's good, when it's bad, when people want to hear, and when they don't. Reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine. Verse 3, for the time will come, it's a prophecy about the last days. And let me leave this with you. This is a prophecy about our generation before the rise of Antichrist. The last church generation. And it says, for the time will come when they, talking of the church, those in the church, the wayside hearer, the stony ground hearer, the thorny ground hearer, a day is coming when they will not endure or tolerate sound doctrine. They will hate biblical preaching. They will not tolerate it anymore in the church. But notice this, they're not against preaching, but after their own lusts, they shall heap to themselves teachers. They'll go find 100 preachers that they like. They're going to gather all their favorite preachers. They're going to have an army of preachers. They're going to heap them together in this generation. They won't tolerate sound doctrine, but they'll gather all these teachers. Why? Having itching ears. You know what? When your ears get itchy, you need someone to, unless you can do it yourself, you need someone to scratch that itch. Do you know, an itch is a small thing. It's not an important thing. And yet this last generation of the church is more worried about someone who can scratch the itch than speak to their heart or spirit. And they shall, notice this, this is my last sentence. And they, the stony ground hearer, the thorny ground hearer, the wayside hearer, they shall turn away their ears from the truth. They are going to do it. And shall be turned on to fables. They are going to turn their ears away from truth. Then I, God, am going to turn them on to fables, on to stories. I'm telling you about this last generation in the church of our day. And I warn you, this is an hour we must hear what the Spirit of God says. But we live in a generation where people are turning away from truth and saying, I want a popular preacher, I want my favorite preacher, I've got a whole army of preachers, but they don't deal with my sin. And they do not preach the truth of God. And they tell me things that I want to hear. This was the problem all through the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, and it is in our day. I want to assure you, blessed are you this morning if you have ears to hear. You're blessed, you're happy, you ought to be rejoicing. You ought to be so glad in this hour. It says in 2 Thessalonians 2, in chapter 2, in that hour when Antichrist is going to be revealed on this earth, it says everybody's going to go into deception. God is going to give them over to deception. The only ones who do not get deceived are those who have received a love for the truth of God. If you receive a love for truth, you don't need to worry about Antichrist. You don't need to worry about the false prophet. God will preserve you. Please stand with me. Lord Jesus.